Remembering a legend today here on ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Gabe Nigel along with Dominic Catronio. Bob Uecker passing away today at the age of 90. We welcome in somebody that I didn't know, but I knew who he was because I listened to Brewers games for so long. And of course, you hear this guy's name as part of those Brewers broadcasts. So when I was fortunate enough to join the Marquette broadcast team and doing the pregame and halftime like I've done for the past 10 years, wait, I get to work with the Kent Sommerfeld? Mm. That guy, Kent Sommerfeld? Of course, we welcome in Kent to the show. Kent, thank you so much for the time and jumping on, because everybody knows who you are, even if no, you know, because of Bob saying your name for all those years.
Well, I must have made a lot of mistakes that he had to get on me for all those years. He mentioned my name, but no, thanks for having me on, guys. Unfortunately, under these circumstances, but a sad day for a lot of people. I mean, in the state of Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, and around baseball all around. I mean, Bob has meant so much to so many people and left so many memories with people, whether it be stories and time spent, time shared together. He was truly, truly one of a kind, and he will be sorely, sorely missed, but greatly appreciated for the time that he was here, the time that he provided to Milwaukee and the fans and the baseball people, all the things in baseball and what he did, and the things he did off the field. I mean, he did a lot of stuff that really wasn't recognized because he didn't want it to be recognized. You know, he just did it quietly, whether it was, I remember times when he had a heart issue. And he would call heart patients, and he would, hey, how you doing? And walk them through it, saying you'll be okay. You know, he didn't have to do that. He did that on his own, privately. And he didn't want any recognition for it, but that's who he was. And, you know, all the other stuff, whether it's, you know, Make-A-Wish Foundation, the veteran stuff. He was big on veterans and police and stuff. He had served in the Army. So it's just an amazing life that Bob had. I mean, he had many, many moons in his life, and he lived truly, truly a rich, rich life.
I mean, you two go back to 86, if I'm not mistaken, right, Kent?
Correct.
And when you first arrived, and take me into that first day. You've set everything up. You've triple-checked it right, and the first time that Bob slams that cough button and you're holding your breath, making sure you set everything else up right, right?
Yeah, you're making sure that cough button works. As you guys know, those cough buttons can be lifesavers. And you know, for people listening, a cough button mutes the mics if you want to say something off the air, which might be a little colorful, to say the least. That is muted, and Bob had used it, and many, many announcers use it. But I remember the first meeting, Dom, actually. Here I was. I was living in Abilene, Texas, working at a NBC television station, and got the call to come over to work for the Brewers. And, you know, I was a Brewers fan growing up. I grew up in the Milwaukee area. I remember going to games as a kid at County Stadium, sitting in the bleachers for $2. I remember a game where Don Money hit a grand slam against the Yankees, and Billy Martin was the manager. And it was a heavy downpour late in the game, and Don hits a home run. Billy claimed he called the timeout, and he got the umpires to agree with it, so they erased the grand slam that Don Money hit, and the Brewers ended up losing the game. But the first meeting I ever had with Bob, he sat me down, and we were just talking. I had really never met him before, you know, and this was even before we had a game together. We were down in spring training having a dinner, which was an annual thing. Before spring training ever started and game starts, we would have an annual dinner with all the announcers. And at that time, it was Pat Hughes, myself, and Uke. And we were at a place called Don and Charlie's. I'm sure, Don, you know it well, and so do a lot of baseball fans. It was a big, big baseball restaurant for a long time. And, you know, one of the first things he said, you know, he made some jokes and laughed. And then he said, you know what, we're going to work together. We're going to have a job to do, but we're going to have a lot of good times along the way. We're going to entertain, and we're going to have a lot of laughs. And even through last year, and it would have been this year had he been here, the laughs have still been continuing to this day, and they always will be. I mean, he just had an innate sense of making people laugh. His humor, whether it was self-deprecating humor for himself, you know, in his act on stage, or whether it was, you know, just talking to people, his humor was unbelievable. He may be the quickest witted man I ever met to come up with something just off the cuff, just reactionary to a word or something someone else said to him, whether it was in an interview or just talking to him. It was unbelievable. But he said, we're going to have fun and we're going to enjoy it. And it's going to be a good ride. And I was still on the ride with him for 39 years until today.
Kent Sommerfeld, longtime Brewers radio engineer, joining us here on ESPN Wisconsin. And on this Carbless Talk and text line, I've got somebody who brought this up. And I was not listening during this game, so I must have missed this. Mm-hmm. But Matt says, I remember when Bob found out that Kent Sommerfeld's high school nickname was Bones. He questioned Kent during the game. OMG, so funny. I'll never forget that. What was Bob asking you after he found out that your high school nickname was Bones?
Well, he really wanted to know the source of it. And, you know, it was just because I was a smaller person, you know. So it was Bones because that was short for something else. I don't think I need to go into detail.
Nope.
But I was playing in a basketball game. It was at a high school charity game. It was called Key Club, and there was a big fundraiser we did. And I was a sophomore at the time. And sophomores usually didn't play in the last hour of the game because that was reserved for all the upperclassmen. So, you know, they kept putting me in the game. And I'm like, what the heck you guys keep putting me in the game for? I'm not supposed to be playing at this point in the game. This is for all the big shots, you know. But they kept putting me in the game because they wanted to use a line, you know, using the name Bones, which is a name for something else. And when I made the shot, of course, they said, you know, erection by – something or another, and the crowd broke up. The PA guy said it, and he heard that story, and he wanted me to tell it. I'm like, I'm not going to tell that story over the Brewers radio network. But he loved it because now he had something, you know, to go on me and had on me, and he had multiple nicknames for me. I mean, he had nickname after nickname, and that was an endearing quality. If he gave you a nickname, you sort of knew you were in his club a little bit. And that he liked you when he gave you a nickname. So he gave me a bunch of nicknames, and, you know, still to this day, he would call me, oh, hey, how you doing, Slime? How you doing? You know, yeah, that was just one of them. There were others, but all colorful, of course, and delivered only in the way he could deliver them, too, because he just had a way of doing that. You know, I talked about his humor and his timing and his wit. And he was just, like I said, one of a kind, a very fortunate to have worked with him this long. And fortunate to be a friend to him and to his family, Judy, his wife, and his kids, you know, Steve and Sue and Leanne and Bob Jr. and his wife, Kathy, and daughter, Emily, and just good people.
Great people. And I think of everybody in the booth that last time after Game 3 ending the way it did, but just having everybody around for that final game, Kent, and you know, just being a fly on the wall for that scene, I think that was obviously wanted to win the game, of course, but to have the people that loved him most around him in what turned out to be his final game, I think is what was most important about saying goodbye to Bob Uecker last season.
Oh, absolutely. And Jeff Levering's tribute at the end of the game in the post-game show was very, very moving. And, you know, so many people, Dom and Gabe last year, wanted the Brewers to win a World Series for Uecker. You know, they knew Uecker was, you know, 90 years old. They didn't know how much longer Bob was going to do it until most of us thought he'd be back for year 91, his 91st year. But they didn't win it. But that was the locker room sentiment. You talked to people after the game when they got eliminated, and you heard players, whether it was Christian Yelich or even some of the young guys like Mitchell and Frelick and other guys, you know, they all wanted to win a World Series, and they wanted to win it for Uecker. And that tells you volumes about his relationship. Bob was really one of the guys down in the locker room. He had his own locker. You know, he was a guy who was down there every day. Bob did his prep work by sitting there and talking with the guys before the game, at their lockers and in the dugout before games, with the manager and with the press corps. I mean, he was one of the guys, and he threw BP when he was younger all the time when the Brewers were back at County Stadium. So he was just one of the guys, and, you know, it's a sad day that a lot of the guys down there lost a friend, and he could communicate with anybody. And I was saying this to somebody else today, in that when Bob met somebody, he made that person feel like they've been a friend for a long time. He made a connection with that individual, and that individual would walk away saying, like, yeah, hey, I sort of feel a little closer to you, or I seem like I knew him a little bit more because he made him feel that way. And he was able to make connections with people, and he made connections with guys who were old timers in the locker room, guys who had been around for 40, 50 years, and even the young guys. When all the new young guys who came into the game and the Brewers team, you know, they didn't know who Bob Uecker was. Some of these young guys, they had no idea his career and his past. They knew he was big with the Milwaukee Brewers, that he was their announcer, but they had no idea that he played for 8 years, you know, that he was a very good defensive catcher, baseball player, maybe not the best hitter, but, you know, today he might have been a very successful hitter. Who knows, the way the game is thinned out or how many more players are playing the game, you know. He could have been a very successful hitter. But he was able to connect with guys young and old, and it was really cool to see when you saw that dynamic between him and the players. And he was always a player's guy, always a player's guy. And, you know, he would tell us about announcing games, and he would tell all his partners and announcing the games, you know, you hear guys that are sort of getting on players and sort of ripping players because they made an error or something. And Bob would say, hey, you know what? Guys make errors. It's human. You know, that's just part of the game. I don't need to rip on a player or anything. I can point out that he didn't make the play, but that was from his player's mentality because of the fact that he played the game. He knew how tough it was to play the game. And he just said, you can still point out what you need to point out, and you're disappointed that this so-and-so didn't make a play, but you don't need to get on guys or go on and on about someone not making the play. You know, he would always say the players are the guys who know or feel the worst about the fact that they didn't locate a pitch or they didn't make a play or they didn't get the big hit. They feel worse than any of the fans. So he had a great perspective from that way, and that's how he broadcasted, and that's how it came across. You know, when he on the radio and in people's living rooms and people's garage and people's headphones when they're cutting the lawn, you know, he's the fabric of the broadcast in people's lives. And that's why he was so beloved, because he was part of people's lives through that broadcast.
Kent Sommerfeld, longtime Brewers radio engineer, joining us here on ESPN Wisconsin. What's your go-to Bob story?
You know what? There's so many.
That's why I asked. There's got to be a go-to one, right?
No, you know what?
You rotate them around?
No, the go-to thing for me for Bob, and it wasn't so much a story, but it was a call. It was a game, the Easter Sunday game, when Dale Swaim and Rob Deere hit the home runs and they came back against the Texas Rangers. Just enthusiasm in his voice, the way he called those two calls and the way they came back. That was during team streak, you know, when they won a bunch of the games to start the year. You know, they had won 12 in a row. George Webb gave out hamburgers. It was 13 in a row. It was just an amazing start to a season, you know. And I vividly just remember that call and the excitement and the fun he had doing that game. And he just loved being at the ballpark. Bob's place and his heaven on earth was the ballpark. The people, the relationships, being at the ballpark. He didn't want to be anywhere else. You know, and he had chances to go elsewhere. I mean, I remember George Steinbrenner tried to recruit him to go to New York. And you know, he told George, you know, no, I'm a Milwaukee guy. I love Milwaukee. I love the people here. I love the Milwaukee. I love the Braves. I love the Brewers. I don't want to go anywhere. But George was recruiting him hard a couple times to come to New York. And could you imagine what his persona would have been in New York and how much bigger? I mean, he was big already, but imagine he would have been way, way bigger had he been broadcasting in New York. He would be unbelievably legendary. He's already a legend and an icon, especially here in Milwaukee and in baseball circles. I mean, just the things he did, not just in baseball, but out of baseball, whether it's the Johnny Carson shows. And Johnny Carson told him, and he told us this, Bob said, you know what? Johnny Carson told me one time that anytime I came out of that curtain, he started laughing. He couldn't stop laughing because he met Bob, and the first time he did him, he had no idea really all his background, but he made him laugh so hard. So every time he peeled that curtain back and started walking on stage with Johnny would be in a laughing jack. And he said Johnny told him that was one of the few, if not the only guys that ever would make him laugh like that as soon as he saw him. in person. And he just did that in Mr. Belvedere, Major League, all the stuff he did, the Miller Lite commercials. When you think about all that he's done and the rich life he had, you're like, man, I was thankful to be around some of it and enjoy the ride. And it's been a blast, and I'll miss him. I'll miss him a lot.
Let's go ahead and hear those calls that Kent was just talking about from Team Streak Easter Sunday 1987.
Gantner, there he goes. The pitch, a swing and a fly ball, right field and deep. Get up and get out of here. Gone for Swaim, and they've done it again. 12 in a row on a two-run blast by Swaim to win it. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. Do you believe it?
Kent, thank you so much, bud, for coming on and sharing your thoughts of a dear friend of yours.
Yeah, very dear friend, and our condolences go out to his family, Judy, and you know, the rest of the family, Bob and Kathy, and Steve, who's not with us anymore, and Leanne, who's not with us, but Sue is still with us. Our hearts go out to the family, and I know it's a tough time for them, but we're all grateful for the friendship, the memories, and we just are just thinking of them and hope the peace and comfort is brought to them over time. And we'll just forever remember Bob here in Milwaukee and in the state of Wisconsin and around baseball, and be thankful for who he was and what he meant to so, so, so many people.
Thanks so much, Kent. Appreciate you, man.
You got it, Dom. Gabe, thank you.
Kent Sommerfeld, longtime radio engineer, producer of the Brewers Radio Network, joining us here to share his thoughts of his friend, Bob Uecker, who passed away and was announced earlier today at the age of 90. We'll continue to take your reaction, your calls, your texts, and share our thoughts and stories as we continue on ESPN Wisconsin.